Get ready for the Girls on Games podcast, your weekly dose of news, reviews, and everything video games. Always served with a good helping of hype and just a pinch of salt. And now, your host, Leah.
Hello and welcome to another Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah. I'm the host of this show. This is episode number 438. And this week, we're going to ask that age-old question. What if there was a Pokemon game set in Canada? Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about that. But before we get into that, very important today, happy birthday, Joelle!
Happy birthday!
Merci!
How has your day been? Did you celebrate?
Yes, I did. I did work. Most of my work is in the morning, and then a friend took me out to lunch, which was amazing. And then we went for a little walk, came back and finished some work. And then there's a really great Korean bakery really close to my house, so I went and grabbed some pieces of pie and celebrated. So yeah, it's been a really lots of love from friends and everyone. So it's been just lovely.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. The other voice you hear on the podcast today is Catherine. Catherine, how you doing?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm excellent. All right, let's get through some housekeeping before the crew check in. I'd like to remind you that if you enjoy this show, you can subscribe. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Podbean. If you'd like to get some GOG merch, you can do that by going to designbyhumans.com/shop/girlsongames. Or maybe you'd like to give us a tip, maybe buy us a coffee. You can do that by going to our Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/girlsongames. Let's continue with the birthday adventure since both Joelle and I are Pisces. Joelle, yes. What else were you up to this week in celebration of your birthday?
Yeah, so unfortunately, the boyfriend got sick. So we had some things planned over the weekend. And I was able to do some of them. Gareth Emery, who's a trance DJ, was in town. And so at the last minute, I was so grateful that a friend was able to join me. So I still was able to go to that. And because I turned 37, I had to do some major prep work to go to that show because he didn't go on until just before midnight. So and he was on for a solid hour and a half. And so I had to take a late day nap and have some coffee and get all the things ready to go. But it all worked out in the end because I was set sailing and we got back about 2:30 in the morning. And then it took me all weekend to recover, as it does now. So, yeah, it was still kind of fun to go out and party. And like I said, today was great. And so it's been a great, you know, 37, it feels, you know, you're solidly, you know, creeping towards the big 4-0. So I feel old, but then still don't at the same time. So yeah.
Catherine, how about you? What have you been up to this week?
Well, I finally caught on to some stuff because I was sick for a while. Mm-hmm. So I went out to get some luggage, to buy luggage for a trip because we need a new piece of luggage. And I realized it's the most Canadian thing ever. I went to Winners.
Yeah.
To buy a piece of luggage that's Roots.
Nice.
Roots Canada. And then I went to Dollar Store because it's just a black thing. And I was like, I need to like customize it so we can like spot it on the thing and doesn't look like every other. And I got like a set of like tape from Dollarama that has like yellow, blue, green, and red tape. Mm. And if I had to organize it a certain way, it would be like the Hudson Bay logo, you know, the one with the stripes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. That pattern is like iconic for Canada.
Iconic. So yeah. That's what I did this week, but the week before, we celebrated your birthday!
Yay! Woo! Hence why we were delayed in getting a podcast episode up, / we ended up not doing one, because we were just like, we're tired! weird? Because, yeah, turning 40. Yeah, so it was a good time. Went down to Montreal for a few days and got to hang out with Kat and Pascal and a whole bunch of friends on Saturday night. And we went to dinner and then went out drinking. And when do we do that? Never. Felt it the next day. Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah. Mike and I didn't realize how exhausted we were in general because we've both been working full tilt until like we finally got a chance to chill out. And yeah, we would go out and do something, come home and relax on. We're staying at a friend's house. Kind of house, semi-house setting, and crash, and then would go out and do something else, come back and crash. So, yeah.
But it was such a fun night, though. Catching up was so good. The food was good. Mm-hmm. I'm still not over how big Weinstein and Gavino's is.
It really is huge.
It's big like a suburban restaurant, but they're in downtown Montreal.
And they kept going during COVID, and that place is freaking packed Saturday night.
Yeah, it was like so
chocker blocked.
But it's like, you know, they had us pay and we needed to clear the table. We get that, and we're just like taking turns, like before we leave, going to the bathroom. It took us like fucking, like it was a trip.
Yeah,
just to walk from our table to go down the stairs and then around and behind the stairs to find the bathroom.
Yeah,
it was just like we should have grabbed our stuff and gone to the bathroom. Is what we should have done. Would have been out like there 20 minutes earlier. I didn't realize how big that place was, but the food was great. And just like stumbling to Hurley's down the street and just like some random Irish pub. And the waitress being like, "You guys eating?" We're like, "No, God, no."
And my husband started buying bottles of wine and I was like, "Oh God, I'm going to feel this tomorrow." Yeah, it was good. It was really fun. And it just, like, the crew that we had was perfect, too, because, like, everybody knew everybody. Like, not, like, just because I used to have these parties at the house, like, the condo that Mike and I used to have in Montreal was just, like, the prime party spot, so people would always come to our house to hang out and stuff. And it usually involved, like, food and video games and chilling and whatever. So, like, it, you know, lots of people all different walks of life from like Mike's in my I guess my 18 years there in the city, right? So it was just nice to get to sit down and hang out with people, and it felt like no time had passed yet all this time had passed, because we all had stories, as some members of the group have kids now and people have gone through health changes and it's been it was really nice to get a chance to sit down and chat. And then drinking. And then we all felt it the next day. And we were recovering the next day. The next day, Mike and I were meeting up with another friend, Ryan, who actually did all our audio and video editing for the export passport that when Steve and I worked on. And we wanted to go for brunch at Green Spot, which is like a staple in Montreal. But what we forgot is that it's a staple in Montreal. Therefore, it was a lineup out the door. And so we started to walk to try and find another spot. We couldn't find another spot. We walked from like Atwater Market all the way up to St. Catherine Street and like McKay or something, where we went and ended up at Acora. So, yeah, we went on an adventure, but we needed it. It was actually not cold that day, and, like, we needed that to, like, recover from our hangover. So, it was good.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite the trek, but it was nice. Walking up Guy is, like, a challenge. It is just, like, full hill the whole time. I was glad I put on sneakers and didn't wear my, like, winter boots. But, yeah, sounds like it's been busy 2 weeks for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm really happy we took that break, though, when you were like on Wizard. Like, are we really doing this? And we're like, no. Nah.
I hadn't planned anything. And, like, I had taken... So my birthday was on the Tuesday. And all I did that day was bake a cake and play video games. And that's all I wanted to do. And, like, just stayed, like, chill and relax and nothing crazy. I baked the cake, but Kat, we were talking earlier about power outages. My power went out right before I was going to put the cake in the oven.
No way.
But then came right back.
Oh, my God.
Like, because we had a crazy, like, thunder lightning storm that day. So, yeah. Imagine they tried to bake something.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That would fall real quick. Okay, let's look at the Fantasy Critic. Let's look at our league, see how things are going. Been any major changes? No, we're kind of in the same spot still. I've had three games released, so that's what really gives me most of my points. So I'm in first, Joelle's in second, Kat's in third. I don't know if we've had anything really release. Okay, those are my three. Then, oh, so on Kat's, you've got Mario versus Donkey Kong Remake. Oh, I thought I had a question mark, but you got seven points from that guy. That only came in at a 77 critic mm-hmm. review?
Yeah.
Find that hard to believe.
Disappointed.
Oh, well, sad. I did a quick play of the demo. There's a demo available, and just from the little bit that I played, I can kind of see it. It's not. I wish it was like as good as Toad's Treasure Tracker was. Like the music is better, I would say, but I could see where maybe people wanted a little bit more out of it. But I mean, especially for the price point. But I think eventually, if it ever went on sale or if I got like gifted it, I would play it. But yeah,
it's not going to drop that kind of coin at a game that you know just isn't hitting there right now. And when there's so much to play,
yeah, there's so much to play.
On the history of what's happening, there was a little bit of a battle. Catherine and I were both going after Fantasy Life I, the girl who steals time, and Kat got it with a bid of $6.
Yeah.
I put in $5.
$1, Bob.
$1. All right, let's look at the Community League and see how things are going. All right. In first right now, ooh, we've had some movement over here. Darth Sirideus is in first place. He's had three games released. Offshore Meteor is in second with two. I'm in third with two. Pat is in third with two. Yeah, Pat's in fourth with, he's had four games released. Jessica Star, fifth, three games released. Ross has had no games released, currently sits in sixth. Maybe something is sitting there without, because it's weird. It says he has points, but no games released. So maybe it's like that interim time when a game is out, but it hasn't been fully locked in yet. Phoenix is in seventh. Albant is in eighth, tied with Stainsby Kingsby at eighth. And then Zhang Pao is in tenth. So let's just look here now and see. Final Fantasy Rebirth. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Offshore Meteor got that one. Got 27 points out of that. That's a good one. And then the Thaumaturge, if I'm pronouncing that right, 77 critics, so 7 points. Albion doesn't have a game released yet. Zhang Pao had Banishers Ghosts of Eden at 80 points, got 10 points. But what really hit for Zhang Pao was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth as the counter pick, minus 27.
Oof.
That's a tough one.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're going to have to click. You still got time because there's still games to pick up. So hopefully Zhang Pao can get some points there, pick up some good things. I had Helldivers 2 and Dragon Infinite Wealth, and that gives me 32 points. Jessica Star had picked Skull and Bones. She lost 10 there. Little Guardsman gained 14 points. Penny's Big Breakaway gained 8 points, sits at a respectable 12. We've got Pat's had four games released. Persona 3 Reload, Mario vs. Donkey Kong, Grand Blue Fantasy Relink, and Foam Stars. It's Foam Stars that kind of brought poor Pat down. But he's at 26. Let's see here now. And then Skull and Bones. So, that's what it is. So, Ross, the reason why Ross is up in the points is because he had counterpicked Skull and Bones, and that got him 10 points because it was below 70. And then, Phoenix has 8 points with Splatoon 3 side order. And then Darth Stridius Kyle has Tekken 8, Pacific Drive, and Ultros, which brings him to 39 points. So yeah, did anybody pick anything up? Definitely looks like people have been picking things up because the stuff's filling up. Let's see, because we've had a few days where we haven't. All right, so Grumpy Grandpa Games acquired Star Wars Outlaws with a bid of $1. That's a great name. I don't know who is Grumpy Grandpa's Games. Ross Cool Games for Attractive People acquired Sandland for $7. Gibson Game Inc., that was me. I got Fantasy Life with a bid of $5. It worked here. The Sirius Cybernetics Corporation acquired Counterpick, unannounced mainline 3D Mario platformer with a bid of $2. Art Vandelay Publishing, pretty sure that's Darth Stridius, He acquired Tales of Iron 2, Whiskers of Winter. Tales of Iron 2, Whiskers of Winter. Does that game have to do with a cat or something? Because I mean, Tales of Iron and Whiskers in the title? I've never heard of it, so I'm curious. But he got that for a bid of $5. And then the Sirius Cybernetics Corporation picked up Bow Path of the Teal Lotus with a bid of $14. So yeah, people have been trying to fill out their publisher list for the year, and but there's still a lot of year ahead of us. We're only in March, so
yep,
we will see. Let's talk about games everybody's playing. Catherine, how goes Coral Island?
I'm still fully addicted. I'm on the last day of winter for my first year.
Yeah,
but I couldn't get my town ranking high enough to get all the seeds and finish my bundle, so but I stopped, like, I logged off. I was good. I realized there was only one or two days left to the season, and then it was spring, and spring is a big important thing, so I was like, I turned off the game. It was like, I gotta wait until I have more than 30 minutes to play so that I can get spring started. Because I'm also at the point where to upgrade my stuff, I need hardwood and I need gold. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like, ugh. So I wanted to get my pickaxe upgraded so I could get more gold, so I could get my water can upgraded just before spring. But then I realized I need hardwood. And to get hardwood, I need to upgrade my axe first. So now I'm just like, oh, that undid all my planning because I don't have enough time for three tools. I gotta do the spring with a silver watering can. But it's alright, I got sprinklers as well. So I haven't decorated or stuff like I haven't gotten into decorating and cooking and recipes because I'm still like upgrading the town, and it's like, we got new animals, but you need to upgrade your barn. But to upgrade your barn, you need hardwood. But to get hardwood, you need a gold axe. And I'm just like, oh, this is why I can't play games like this. I get sucked in.
Yeah.
And addicted. And I need to upgrade my house so I can get married. Not that I picked who I want to marry or somebody offered, but I've been going around giving gifts. Maybe somebody's gonna be like, "Hey, farmer boy."
Have you been romancing characters yet? Have you picked a character you want to romance?
I've just been giving gifts to my, like, I guess top five bachelors.
Okay.
Mm.
So far it's like Mark, Raj, Waku.
Yeah, Waku. Everybody likes Waku.
Like, I noticed that with his the seasons, his hair changed colors, and I was like, "All right, ooh. K-pop man, you're on the list."
That's the one thing I love about this game, like the attention to detail and the illustration on all the characters and stuff. Like, yeah. It's so attractive.
But I forget, and the twins, like Suki and whomever. Yeah. I think I've given and done errands for them, but like, I got a few, like 5-8 people that are high. There. Mm-hmm.
I saw some notes about the next phase of content or the next phase of updates that they're doing for the game too, and they're adding in a whole bunch of stuff, including new like festival events and romancing the merfolk. So yeah, and maybe like more merfolk stuff. I meant to, like, it was one of those things that I read and I was like, I need to talk about this in the podcast, and then totally forgot to save it because I knew you were doing it. But like, yeah, there's like a bunch of updates. So there's one big, like, big update. Oh, then the with like a lot of stuff in it. Then the next update after that is multiplayer.
Oh
yeah,
for real. So
that's where maybe like the three of us should like play a sesh together.
Oh, that would be fun. I would 100% do that.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be really fun, especially since we all have Game Pass. We all have it.
Yep.
Yep. Cool.
Yeah, yeah, and I imagine it's going to be cross-platform with like PC and Xbox as well.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Because the whole, like, I was going back and forth between PC and Xbox the whole time I was playing.
That'd be a great game to play on the Ally. That'd be sick.
That is true. Joelle, what have you been playing?
I've been playing this really fun and unique release game. It's called Arzet, Jewel of Faramore, and it came out in early February. It's by a company called CDI Software, and CD as in S-E-E-D-Y-E-Y-E, like CDI, and it's a game that's inspired by the Philips CDI, as in like compact disc, 2D side-scroller games, and some of you older folks that listen to the podcast, it might remember the Zelda Wand of Gamelon, where Excuse me, princess. So if you can picture that art style in your mind, this is what this game is like. And it is tons of fun. So if you know this type of game style and the art style, I think you're really going to appreciate this game because it is spot on. The animation for the cutscenes have that kind of kooky, you know, quote-unquote supposedly bad drawing, but just enough where it's really good. And it is about this Princess Arzette who has to collect this jewel all over the land of Faramore to trap this wizard back in the jewel because he escaped. And it is so fun because they turn a lot of those tropes on its head of, like, you know, a knight having to go save a princess. Well, she's a princess and she's just going to save the kingdom. She is a sassy and fiery MC, and she's really fun to play. And the game is so rich in characters, and it's there's a lot in it for, like, a fast playthrough would be about 4 hours. But you could, if you wanted to complete it, I bet you could do it in 10. And there is, I think there's, like, 10 levels that you get to play. And there's a lot of, like, little secrets, like, in the levels. And true to gameplay of that time, they're not that obvious. So, and you get 3 hearts to start. And one hit is 1 heart, and once you get all your hearts, you're done. You got to start over. And, you know, it might be a little bit punishing in gameplay in that way, where you start all over at the beginning of the level. They do have checkpoints in the levels, but, you know, the hitboxes are going to be a little wonky. The navigation and the ease of knowing where to go in the game, that's going to maybe be a little precarious as well, but... it really brings you back to that kind of time in gaming where it wasn't all laid out for you and you kind of had to stumble upon secrets and trials and tribulations. But it was a lot of fun. I had a really great time with this game. What I liked about it the most is the boss fight. Best boss fight ever. If you just want to go ahead and Google and look online and see the boss fight, you can go ahead and do that, and which was really a tons of fun, and the art style was great. It looked like you were playing like an old school storybook with watercolor paint, and the graphics just sang, especially on the Switch. It ran really well. Another thing that's kind of fun about the release of this game is that you can buy a CDI controller, which kind of looks like a remote. You can buy it for the release of this game. It came in 2 colors. I guess the original was like a gray plastic, and another color is bright pink, which matches Arzette. Her colors are like pink and yellow. So people are saying that it was a nightmare to play with the CDI controller, because the CDI controller was difficult to play on. But if you really want to steep yourself in that nostalgia, it is available for purchase. And it works with the Switch, so you can plug right into the Switch and use it just like you would any other controller. So if you want to travel back in time and relive your CDI glory days without maybe the pain of having to go buy or get your hands on a console, you can pick this game up, and I would if you're curious at all. It is tons of fun. I was really surprised at how much I enjoyed it, and the cast of characters is quite wonderful, really colorful, a really good time. The only thing that I would say that I had struggled with a little bit was that the hitboxes were really big. So sometimes I felt like, you know, I got cheated on, you know, because it would, like, a random enemy would hit me or something and I wasn't even close to them. But otherwise it was great. I really enjoyed the game a lot.
Cool. I like how on the controller it has the limited run interactive. So Limited Run Games put out this game. We got it through Jared Petty, who we know, who works at Limited Run Games. And yeah, so they're like, they're producing games, they're producing books, they're producing peripherals. Like, they're doing everything to kind of like keep this old school video game, like, aesthetic and you know, feel good vibes alive, because yeah, this is awesome. Also, like, the buttons on this controller, there's a series of six, a grid of six buttons at the bottom. They have the L, B, and A, and then random graphics, whatever that means. Do you see them? Like, they're weird.
Yeah, it's very, I'm guessing, like, one of them's for, like, pause or start, and then because it looks like a donut. Like, the top of it is like a donut.
I know.
So like you can go forward, like your D-pad is round, and then your trigger buttons are along the top of it, and then yeah, I don't know how you'd play with that.
How would you hold this
I
thing?
I don't know.
You know, is it a one-handed thing and you gotta hold it all and do everything with your thumb? Like, that's like, you remember that game you used to play with your thumb and you, like, go against each other and the thumb wars?
Oh, thumb wars.
Yeah, it'd be almost like having a thumb war.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
How's the music? Because they have a two-disc vinyl set there that looks like you can get two. Is the music in the game good?
Yeah, it is really good. I will say that, like, I feel like that seems like it came straight out of Days Past. Like,
oh, awesome.
I'm sure they did update it. I'm sure they had to, obviously. But there is, when I was playing it, I'm like, wow, this music just very much reminds me of these, like, 8-bit games. Like, it's very seemingly kind of simplistic, very repetitive. Like, I'm glad that they put a lot of the effort into updating into the graphics, right, into the cutscenes and how they would run. But the music, like, yeah, it's straight out of the 90s.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
It is really fun. I got done and I'm like, I hope they make more of these. I would play them. They're fun.
All right.
I'm on the Steam page because, like, the graphics are really on point and everything. And so far, the reception and the reviews are overwhelmingly positive.
That's great.
Like, one of the comments is recommended, those mad lads actually did it. They made CDI Zelda good.
They did, yeah. It is enjoyable to play as far as, like, that kind of game would go without totally changing the mechanics of it. So, yeah, if it's a genre you're at all interested in trying, like, this game is totally worth it, especially because it's not very long. Mm-hmm. So, like, even if you get halfway through and you're, like, not sure, like, you just would want to finish it because you're already, like, halfway done. And there's so much variety in the short of the, I was not expecting it to, like I said, to be as deep as it was. And the story was good. I don't know. It really hit on all the nostalgic notes. It's one of those games that it was so easy to get wrong, but I feel really, really hard to get right. And they just knocked it out of the park. So, yeah.
Sweet. I also started a new game. Started it on my birthday. It's exactly what I wanted to do. I had a game in mind that I just wanted to chill and play. It actually came out on February 22nd, but obviously being away, couldn't play it then. So on the 26th, when I got home, I downloaded it, had it ready to go, had my breakfast, grabbed my cup of tea, was all cozy as I dove into Garden Life, a cozy simulator. This is a game made by Still Alive Studios, who have a pedigree in making simulation games, as they have made Bus Simulator 21, Bus Simulator City Ride, Rescue HQ, Bus Simulator 18, Grand Casino Tycoon, and more. So, like, they know what they're at when they're talking about, like, the sim games, right? So this game essentially is you come to this community where the person who was originally kind of taking care of this, well overgrown garden had passed away, and you're gonna come and bring it back to life. So as you go through, you're meeting like the characters that are around. It's a first person game. The characters and everybody that you meet are all kind of like those like talking graphics that come over where they're illustrated, kind of. You don't actually go up to anybody or anything like that, but you come and you're granted, you get off the bus and you're in front of this garden that's all disheveled, and they say, hey, can you start building up this garden because, you know, it would bring so much life back to the community and all this kind of stuff. So you dig in, you put on your gardening gloves, you get your trowel ready, and you start planting flowers. And it is just so soothing and peaceful. It's like the flower mechanics and breeding mechanics a bit of Animal Crossing, but not locked behind the time stuff that Animal Crossing is. Mm-hmm. So the concept is you get seeds, you plant the flowers, they grow up, and when you can cut them and then sell them and do whatever in the spot where you would planted the flower will regrow. But if you leave it there for a bit, the plant itself will seed. And the flower still stays bloomed, but you'll see these, like, yellow, like, sparkly bits coming out of it. But if you see pink sparkly bits, it means that you found a different variant, so a different color version of the flower. And there are about, oh, geez, there has to be 15 to 20 different types of flowers in there, and all of them have at least three different color variants. And you're getting all different types of flowers, too. You're getting, like, tulips and hydrangeas and climbing clematises and all this kind of stuff. So, like, you're trying to, like, plant all these flowers and keep them all together and keep them alive while, you know, the seasons are passing. You're watering them. You're clipping off bits and pieces to sell as you make bouquets that different community members are asking you for. You'll get tasks to fulfill certain things so that you can open up different areas of the garden or help with, you know, things that need to be done to get people to come and help you with different tasks and stuff like that. It's really calming and soothing. There's no, like, you can't really lose, except for, like, maybe if you're not paying attention for some reason, a plant dies. Like, there's no real, like, detriment to anything. It's easy to make money for the most part. And it's just cool, like, as you start to open up the different areas of the garden. Like, now I've got everything except the greenhouse open, so I'm like planting these huge flower beds to try and get all of the lily colors, all of the rose colors. So I just got like flowers everywhere. And it's so pretty. It's a really pretty game. So I'm pretty hooked on it. I'm like 18 hours in right now of just like, you know, over the course of the past week or so, just like sitting here and like spending my time organizing, getting my flowers, building the bouquets, trying to breed different colors, you know. And yeah, if you're looking for something that's just like, you know, just to zen out to, this is definitely a game for you.
That sounds lovely, honestly.
It's gorgeous, too.
Yeah.
Go check out some of the artwork. Like, it's a beautiful game. And I had no real, like, issues with, like, frame rate drops or anything like that. It's super pretty. All the characters and stuff were all, like, illustrated. They kind of feel a little bit like the Coral Island illustrations. A bit of the vibe that you get.
It's an established thing that a lot of games do.
No, like, but these, just like that aesthetic, yeah. Like the way that they're illustrated, the reminds me. Yeah, it's kind of like an anime meets watercolor style, which is kind of what I get from Coral Island too, rather than like real renditions of people or more like, I don't know, chibi or cartoony, you know, versions of people. Like it's more on the mature side. Yeah,
semi-realistic.
So. Yeah. It's got pretty, I think it's overly positive reviews right now too on if I go to the store page on very positive reviews. It doesn't have a lot of reviews. But yeah, little faults with the game that, you know, things that they could easily fix. I'm a hoarder, so I'm collecting all the seeds and all the flowers and doing all the stuff. They do have, like, when you go into this little shed, you have a crafting table. You have a storage stuff for all your decorations, a storage stuff for your flowers and your seeds, and a storage for your tools. The storage from your flowers and seeds needs some kind of, like, sort so that you can arrange it. Because mine's just absolute chaos right now. And it's hard to find something if you're looking for it. You gotta, like, scroll through. But I have not ran into the problem at all that I have, like, not enough storage. That has never become a problem. Even when I accidentally bought a tool, like, 5 times that I didn't realize you could refill it automatically. yeah, for the, like, pesticide to, like, get the ants and stuff away. You can just, like, put your eye up to the sky, like, look up in the sky and, like, hit the E button and it refills it. I thought I had to buy a new one each time. So I was going back to the market, buying a new one. And it pretty much lasts, like, 2 plants and that was it. And I've got, like, a lot now, like, hundreds. So yeah, I'm glad I figured that out. But yeah, if you're looking for something that, you know, just a chill vibes where you don't want to think too much, you just kind of want to zen in your garden. And if you're like me, it's kind of hard to have a garden in Toronto. This is the game for you. Cool. Ladies, are you ready to walk down memory card lane?
Oh, yeah.
Ready as ever.
Each week, the team will have to guess a historical game that would have released during the episode, the time of this episode's airing. We'll start with the release date, and I will give you hints about the game, and the team will attempt to guess what it is. As always, ladies, discuss it out, talk it out, as you see fit. I saw some discussions in the Discord channel. No, we're not going to be doing 2 this week, because I missed a week. Good try. So yeah, hopefully you guys can figure this one out. The game in question released on March 9th in 1996 in Japan, and then in North America on May 13th of 1996. Let the guessing begin.
96. Oh my gosh. I was 9.
Would this be a Pokemon game, or Pokemon was 97?
It is not a Pokemon.
Okay.
But I feel like, yeah, I don't remember what year Pokemon came out in. Tell you the truth. Yeah. I just know that Pokemon Day is my birthday.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Red and Green came out in Japan on February 27th. That's why there's always a fun celebration on my birthday. Besides my birthday.
That's amazing. That's just the stars aligned for you. I have no idea.
You have
no idea. Yeah, 90s, that would be like Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, the OG Game Boy.
Do you want the next hint?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. This game's release was overshadowed by another related game release on a newer console a few months before this game released. I'll say it again because it's a bit of a tongue twister.
Trying to
write this stuff without giving things away. This game's release was overshadowed by another related game's release, and that game came out on a newer console a few months before this game released.
Newer console.
So I'm guessing it was either would it be for the original Nintendo? The Nintendo?
I feel 96 is too early for GameCube.
I would agree.
Or would it be the 64?
I think that's a smidge too early for the 64. Mm-hmm.
Do you want another hint?
Yeah, because, like, the newer console thing threw me for a loop. I thought we were smack dab in, like, Super Nintendo.
This game is a mashup of two different genres.
And it was released in Japan first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A newer console. I wonder if the newer console was the Sega.
Genesis?
Could that be it? The newer console was the Sega Genesis?
Or it was like when we had like the Game Boy Color came out?
Yeah.
That time?
Yeah.
Or... Wow.
It's a mashup of two genres. I wish I could know one of the genres.
That's the next
Okay. I was like, could I get a phone, a lifeline here?
Phone a friend?
Yeah, phone a friend here.
The first genre, RPG, uses real-time battles rather than a traditional turn-based.
Is it Super Mario RPG?
You got it.
All right, there it is.
Whoa!
Yeah. All right.
So yeah, Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars came out March 9th, 1996. It actually, I couldn't believe this. It came out after the 64 released, hence why it didn't do as well, because everybody was obsessed with Super Mario 64.
It was the 64.
Yeah.
Because I thought the 64 was more like 98, but my memory's blurry.
Just a few months before. Okay. Yeah, so it's like that weird transition time. Yeah. They must have been already developing this. That's why this game is so good. It was think about it. The tail end of any console cycle is usually when you get the best games, right?
Yeah. I'm so dumb. Like, we spent so much of the Ice Storm, the 98 Ice Storm, playing my friend's Nintendo 64, because he had to come to my house because we had power, and he brought his console, and we played so much Mario Kart. I should have known that the 64 was...
I mean, from the point of this game is to, like, whittle it down, right?
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, you said 68 Ice Storm, and this, so we were a few years before that.
96 Ice Storm.
Sorry, 96.
No, the Ice Storm was in 1998.
Okay.
But I figured, like, the 64 was, like, just before that, but I guess not. I guess it had been out for a while.
I also thought it was later. My bad. But yeah, once I was like, I bet if I know one of the genres, I'll get the game. Because I was like, I don't. But yeah, that game was a sleeper. And I remember playing that game so much because my brother played it and he loved it. So I remember watching him play it. And then I played it. And then I had so many friends that were like, oh, you have this game? Like, can I borrow it? And I still have the cartridge.
Oh, nice.
Of that game. So, yeah.
Excellent. The other hints I had, though I figured at that point you guys would get it, there are a multitude of mini games and side quests. There are multiple endings. Mm-hmm. There are hidden bosses. Though you can only have three party members at a time, you can switch them pretty easily to benefit of their unique abilities. Players can equip various weapons and armor, like a hammer. Mm-hmm. And it is... often on best game of all time lists. Mm-hmm. Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars, which you can now play on the Switch, and I have, and can confirm, holds up.
That's a great game.
Yeah, it really is. Are you ladies ready to get into the tiniest bit of news, which transitions very nicely into topic of the week?
Yep.
All right, let's go. It's time to cover news, and let's just make this, like, the Pokemon episode, because honestly, that's all I really care about. Because I've been waiting for some Pokemon news since, for a while now, to be like, what's the new latest and greatest thing to get excited about for Pokemon? And, of course, my birthday, February 27th, is also Pokemon Day. There was a Pokemon Direct where they talked about a whole slew of things, but the biggest thing that I saw was the announcement of Pokemon Legends ZA. Z2A? ZA? I don't know how people are calling this thing now. Because, of course, a la Pokemon, there's never, or any Japanese title, there's no simple way to explain what this game is and its name and say what its name is. So I think this is pretty awesome because this is kind of like branching off from Pokemon Legend Arceus or Arceus, however you want to say that one, which I think most of us played. Kat, did you play Arceus?
I got turned off of it because of the performance issues.
Oh,
people were complaining the Switch couldn't handle it, so I didn't.
You're not thinking about the newer one, are you? But I know Arceus had some issues too.
There is there one after Arceus?
Yeah, yeah. That was oh my god. That one was, what did we just play?
That one was the worst.
What did we
one.
Just play? Purple Scarlet. Violet Scarlet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Violet Scarlet. Okay. So the Legends game are their own like line because
it
usually
seems that way, yes.
Yeah.
It was okay. The first truly like open world one where the Pokemon were out in the wild and you had to catch them, and it wasn't really a fighting mechanic like you see in normal Pokemon games.
And Red Scarlet was the normal one.
Yeah, yeah, it was more the normal one.
I honestly skipped both because both people were saying it was kind of chugging, so I kind of got turned off.
I get that.
That is also, honest. I almost picked it up, but then I heard about the performance issues. And I'm like, I'll get mad. So then I did.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. I get that. I know Simon and I played an epic shit ton of both games. Mm-hmm. Got obsessed with both of those games. But the thing about the Legends one was that where it was really much more like a collect-a-thon because it was kind of like back in time and all that kind of stuff. Like you were building the Pokedex. That was kind of the job of the game. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about that game, though, is because of the idea of being open world and, like, kind of, like, back in time, this one sounds like its setting is in Lumio City, which is the main hub of the Kalos region that was in Pokemon X and Y, yep. Based on Paris, France, yep. Which is interesting because it looks super modern because the way they had it illustrated was all, like, blue lines. Like
it was very
you were
Tron.
In, like, Tron or something. Yeah, yeah, so I'm curious to see how they put all of this together. We didn't get a whole lot of info considering it's like the announcement of this, but I think there's a reason for that. It sounds like the release date is early 2025. They said 2025, but people are saying early 2025. I have a feeling this is the new Switch.
I was going to say, is it going to coincide with the new hardware?
If not a launch title, a soon follow title, because they're talking about the new Switch potentially being this year. So, I mean, if it's early, I could see it come out in February. Like, that doesn't seem obtuse, right? And, like, there's a lot of references to Pokemon X, Y in it. The whole ZA set looks like the legendary, that one of the legendaries that came from that game, Zygarde, who was, like, in X and Y, they had the X, I don't remember the Pokemons now, the X kind of legendary and the Y Pokemon legendary, and then this one was, like, the Z one, so it was kind of came out, like, special afterwards. They've got a few things that they noted. There was 25 Pokemon that were confirmed based on the trailer, because you obviously saw, like, Pokemon Jet Buy and all this kind of stuff, and the Mega Evolutions are back. But I really feel like the biggest kind of, like, nugget that we get out of this is the fact that, like, if it's an early 2025 release, it's probably going to be on the new console if we ever get one. Because I can't imagine them building another Pokemon game on that old console based on how, Scarlet Violet, fantastic game, chugged. Like, so many performance issues. So, like, it's time. It really is time to, like... I also like the idea where it's called Z to A. So maybe you have to, like, collect all the Pokemon. Because if you're saying, like, you gotta catch them all. Like, there's something about doing... the saying is A to Z. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And them doing that backwards. Like, if there's something to do with, like, collecting backwards. Or I don't know. Because that's kind of trippy. As a name, and always, like, the conversation when it comes to Pokemon games is it the full Pokedex? Because it's never been the full Pokedex as we know it. I just thought that was super interesting as we kind of spec out what we think and when we think potentially a new console is coming for Nintendo.
I mean, if Pokemon and Zelda taught us anything... is that the Switch, she is rough, bud.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
rough
yeah.
One, bud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's like, time.
Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest, like, upgrade for me for, like, Tears of the Kingdom was how they managed to add so much content but actually make the game run better.
Yep.
But, like, if you fucked around a lot with building at one point, it was like, kiss your frame rates goodbye.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, all the issues I ran into on Pokemon Scarlet Violet were just borderline comical.
Yeah. And it's like, I remember when it came out and so many people loved it and so many people were talking about it. But like in the many discourse that I'm in, everybody was like, how can you be a Nintendo first party and like be one of the worst running game on the hardware? Like clearly they don't know how to optimize for the Switch, or they can't. They just kind of like they've hit a wall where they just can't. You can't have like this many Pokemon running around in an open world or this big of a Pokedex and collect all the evolutions on this hardware anymore. Like,
yeah,
just can't.
Everybody was just assuming too that like a new console was coming, and the rumor mill is that the new console has been ready for a while. They're just waiting for the right time to like release it, because we did get that kind of, I think it was 2022. Yeah, I think it was in the, yeah, because I was playing it around the time that Bowie passed. So yeah, in 2022, like there was a lot, you know, we're still kind of feeling the repercussions of the chip shortage and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And maybe that's why they've delayed it for this long. And they've just been kind of leading into it too. Cause like, yeah, if that new console comes out and they re-release or like issue a version that you can play on both Tears of the Kingdom and even Breath of the Wild too, in certain cases. And then that Pokemon Scarlet Violet on the console, I think people will have a better time with it.
Well, and there's,
I can see them doing it.
And their sales were still though so good, right? Because they had,
oh, yeah,
they had the original.
They did fantastic.
They had the original Switch. They had the OLED that they released, and I thought to myself, "Well, I don't need this because they're coming out with a new console in a few years." And boy, was I wrong. But and then they came out with the Switch Lite, you know, and then they released some Pokemon games, which drove sales, and then they released Tears of the Kingdom, and they released a limited edition console just for that release. So they were milking out their stores, like they were their resources and their inventory. They're like, we're gonna push this as far as it can go. And now, yeah, and now they've hit their wall, because I want to play like Princess Peach, and I thought to myself, well, I'm not gonna buy it until I kind of have at least a decent amount of rumors to tell me when a new console is coming out. But if they were going to, I think I would have known. So I'm going to still buy it for this one. But it, I think it's going to be announced for holiday or for early 2025.
Yeah. Or tail end. Yeah, I can see the tail end of this year for holiday and then have a big game that comes out this year. And then this is the follow-up title early next year.
Yep.
And I just hope, God, please, Nintendo, fix the Joy-Cons. And if you still do detachable Joy-Cons, A, fix them. B, retrocompatibility, please and thank you. Because those are expensive and we've had to like buy and replace them.
Yes.
So
I've got four sets.
Fucking much.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
No, five sets.
Whoa.
Wow.
I got the ones that came on it. Then I got another set. No, I have four sets. So I have the ones that came on it. Then I got the pink-green ones. Then I got the pink-green ones again. Then I got the orange-yellow ones.
Mm. And how many of them
orange,
drift?
Pink one, purple one. The original ones and the first set of pink-green ones do definitely drift.
Yeah.
So I'm half.
I didn't play mine as much undocked. I mostly played mine docked. And my machine runs, like, perfectly. Like, I threw in a terabyte card in there. And and the machine, like, that thing, I've had no issues with that, like, whatsoever. I'm actually really shocked that it still is running as well as it is. No. But I've replaced my Joy-Cons once. But I almost always play it docked. But I'm still, like, when I was playing it the other day, I played Arzette on it. And my boyfriend's like, that's still the best, like, handheld that's out on the market right now, because it just works. And it's right. It just works. So,
But it's as strong as like an Android tablet from like,
that's true,
8 years ago.
That's
so
true.
Or even longer. The thing is 7 years old.
It's
now
so old.
And it's seven's birthday. It's like the fourth, was it March? Is it today? No, or is it
it's
the second? 20, I don't know. One of the days
in 2017. Because I remember getting it for my birthday, like in 2017.
Maybe came out.
It's old.
In my game dev career, like my biggest worry is having our game run on the OG PlayStation 4 and the OG Xbox One. And that's still less restrictive
than a Switch.
Than a Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
It needs to come out. The announcement, I'm hoping the announcement comes soon, especially with this Pokemon, so people can start planning. And it's going to be more expensive. There's already rumors of it being maybe $400.
Of course. Everything.
It's going to be. Yeah. Inflation, yo.
Everything's going up.
Yeah.
But as soon as they drop those pre-orders, just take my money, Nintendo.
Oh, yes, I know.
Take it and run for the hills.
Yep.
I might do like I did for the original Switch, which was wait like a year, a full cycle. I got mine with Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, that's pretty much, if not a year, it was like halfway through, because that came out like right after.
It was to the point where they were available in stores. Like, you could find a store that had some. It's just once you got there, you didn't have a great color selection.
There was never a great color selection.
I called, I think it was like the source on like Plaza Saint-Sper, because it was like I could hit it on my way home between work and my place. And I called him, and I was like, he says you have Switch on the, do you have them? He's like, I got 10 of them. It's just they're all with the gray controllers. I'm like, cool, I'll be there in an hour. He's like, okay. He just like, what's your name? I'll put it on the side. So you could easily get Switches. It's just like you showed up and whatever they had. Like, even when I went to get like my Joy-Cons, when the others got Drift and the plastic casing broke because Pascal was not as careful with it, and I again at one point was just googling where to go. I ended up on a random small, I think it was at the source again, but somewhere else, and I showed up and I was like, do you guys have Joy-Cons? And they were like, well, we just got some in, but we only have this colorway. And it was like, there was availability, just they were like, you can't really pick the colors you want, because like the stocks were so low that whatever you, but it's like, I'm not that bitch. I was like, do they work though?
Yeah, that's the kicker, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, cool, okay, so you want the box with the two? I'm like, yes, the box with the two, I gotta replace.
Yeah,
like, cool, it's $100. And I was like,
yeah, they were pricey.
And it's like, and I live in a province with high taxes, so I was like, so it's gonna be almost $120.
Yeah, ouch.
I used Optimum Points to buy a set.
Oh, at the pharmacy? Like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah, so I had spent, because that place is just a money suck, and I guaranteed it's because it all goes into the freaking points. And also, it's a Loblaws owned thing, so
yeah.
10. But yeah, they you get points, and I had enough points for $100, so I essentially got the Joy-Cons for free? Question mark?
It's girl math.
You have to spend thousands of dollars on makeup and shampoo, but you got to
enjoy. Oh, it's not even that. It's like tampons and freaking soap and stuff.
Yeah. But I got it for free.
There you go.
If anything, I might have learned a lesson though with Nintendo, because when the OLED came out, I was like, I can skip it because there's going to be another new console soon, and boy, was I wrong.
I mean,
I can't wait though. There are certain things that I can wait for. A Nintendo console is not.
No, I am overdue. I was like, damn it, I should have bought one. I almost bought one for Tears of the Kingdom, and now I'm like, I should have done it. Would have, could have.
Well, mine is the review model we were sent.
Oh my gosh.
So it is like OG. OG.
Yeah, I got mine like right away when it came out. So it was like the first on the store shelves. So.
Oh, nice.
Mine was like 6 or 8 months down the line. It still works, so that's why I skipped over the OLED. I was like,
well, that's fine.
But mine still works too. I find that it like, except for the Joy-Con thing, like, and there's certain games, and like, I just know that like, this is not the console to play certain stuff. But like, when we go to Mexico, I'm downloading Dave the Diver and putting it on there, and I'm gonna pay that shit like nobody's business while I'm sitting by the pool drinking my, you know, mojitos and margaritas and whatever else, burning my skin.
Well, yeah, so, absolutely. And also, there's so many games that you still can play on it. Like, the catalog of games is insane for this handheld. And yeah, like you said, like, you're gonna go somewhere, I'm like, I don't even think about not bringing the Switch. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna bring the Switch, like, of course I am, because it's gonna play.
I didn't bring mine to Montreal, and I felt naked.
Oh.
I felt naked traveling without it, going in through security and someone being like, what is this? I'm like, my Nintendo Switch. ladies, I think it's time to get into topic of the week, which, as we mentioned at the top of the show, was a bit of a pipe dream. What if there was a Pokemon game set in Canada? Because obviously they mimic a lot of games. We talked about Lumio City being based off the region of France, and we've had Spain, and we've had a whole bunch. We've had like England and all that kind of stuff. What about Canada? It's not very often that this game's set here. I want a Pokemon game here. But before we get into the reasoning behind all of this, I need to play you guys what I think the game theme song would be.
Oh my okay. God.
Are you ready for this? And hopefully this works, because considering I'm going to try it like we did last week that failed and I ended up with an editing nightmare. So I'm sorry, Simon, in advance.
Sorry.
But
sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry. I'm about sorry. Okay, hold on. Let's see. I got to get to my account. Go to my watch later.
I hate it.
Joey's head.
I can't. Please stop.
Yeah, that I found that on TikTok and I near died.
Oh my
I was like,
God.
Yes, it's all coming together. This Canadian version of Pokemon.
Wow.
Oh man.
Someone was very hurt the day that they made this.
No,
that was really, a cry for help.
That was a cry for help.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I initially saw this. There's this dude who like listens to mashups and plays drums, but they're always like wackadoo mashups. So like he did this. He did Britney Spears and Disturbed. He did.
Oh my gosh.
Kiss from a Rose by Seal, but not, it's by Seals. So they had like Seals harping the tune.
Oh no. Oh no.
I'll have to link it. I'll have to find his account and link it. Because every time he's just sitting there waiting for the song to play and he hears it, he just dies laughing, then just starts wailing on the drums.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So the context of this, why we're doing this. So there's this TikTok account called Comet.ai, and I assume they're an AI program of some sort, but they're generating Pokemon dream scenarios using AI. And they've done like a slew of them now, but this one, of course, popped up because the TikTok algorithm is strong. And it is a what if there was a Pokemon game based in Canada. And so it's like a photo kind of real thing. They put music to it, of course, as usual. But I'm just going to walk the crew through it, and we'll comment and see how we feel about it and if we think this would actually be a solid Pokemon game. So first scenario, create a picture of a Pokemon map inspired by Canada. So here's the picture. And you know what? I feel like it has some accurate things with the mountains and like the forest over on the left-hand side and stuff. But Newfoundland is super rocky and not like, I guess you could kind of say in some areas it's pretty like not deserty, but desolate in some spots. But like having the deserty kind of like area out on the right side, so the easterly side, is a little off.
Two things.
Yep.
And I hate to be that person. Not enough snow.
Okay.
Not enough trees. Not enough lakes.
Yeah, it's one big river. Yeah, there's...
That's not Canada, bud.
Like it's kind of like a lake, but yeah, I mean, like, it's pretty...
We are the only country that has the most lakes.
True.
And I think like there's like some, I saw this, it was probably on TikTok or on Reddit, where they're like the only place in the world where there's like a lake on an island in a lake on an island in a lake. And that's like in Baffin.
Yeah.
Way up north.
It's like lake
every
inception.
Time they had this, they had something stupid about a lake and they're like, and you can find it in Canada. So I'm like, more lakes, but less rivers, more lakes.
Now, create a starter Pokemon of the type water with its three evolutionary stages for this country. And we get this water seal mixed with ice dragon that I think is pretty dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I could see that being a water ice combo.
Mm-hmm. A seal is pretty traditional for here too. Feel like if you're going to pick some kind of water creature that's different, at least the first phase form. The second phase form is almost like, is like a bigger seal, but it looks like its face looks a little too like chibi-ish, like seals a little bit more.
I mean,
yeah, I guess you could. Yeah.
I mean, it's AI, you know, it's terrible just in general. But like the idea is there.
Yeah.
The idea is here. And then like the ice dragon
that's
is like
cool.
its end
that's
form.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I think this one's my favorite, and that's saying something because I usually don't go for grass types, but now create a starter Pokemon with grass with three evolutionary stages. I love the final stage tree. So it starts like a seedling, then a sapling, then goes into one of those great
maple.
Trees from out west.
Of course, maple.
Of course.
Of course. Yep. But it looks like one of those ones you'd see in like BC, you know, those like ancient trees older than God sort of thing.
Yeah,
and
go for it.
Well, I was going to say, and like instead of like the face just like being like in the middle of the trunk or like maybe a part of the you know, top with all the leaves, it's kind of neat how it kind of like bunches out like from the side. Like it comes out from the side, like
right
yeah,
there.
Like
yeah,
almost.
I didn't understand that was the face.
Yeah,
it's like a hawk.
Yeah,
like look at the beak here and his eyes here.
Oh,
that looks more like an emblem on the top of his head. But like, yeah, they're on the left hand side.
So I thought that was really neat of like giving it a bit of dimension and almost like aggressive. Oh, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like, not scary, but intimidation. There you are. So, like, if I saw this tree, I wouldn't be like, "Mom, it's just a tree." Like, that looks intimidating. So
it looks fierce. Yeah, with the scraggly ass like roots and everything too. Like, that's one thing throughout the evolution of or the assumed evolution of this Pokemon. Like, the first one just kind of has legs. It's a tiny little guy, and then the next guy he kind of like grows a little bit more like of roots, and then the third like biggest third evolution, he's like he got roots for days. I also like how this one I find has a little bit of a native indigenous kind of styling to it because of the way that they did like almost like a headdress and then the pattern, like are they leaves, are they feathers, not sure, you know, like we're assuming leaves, but like the way that they're colored kind of feels like feathers.
Yeah,
so I thought that was
kind of very
neat.
Pleasing.
Yeah, and like he's just starting to grow his leaf out of the top of his head.
Just a little guy.
Now we're gonna get into the fire one. Ladies, thoughts on this fire evolution?
Fire fox
is
going to
sue. Looks like a fox. It is kind of like a fire fox. And then the middle one, though, it starts as like a fox. Then it goes to the middle one, which kind of looks like a bird.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to fox level again. So I don't know. Is it like a phoenix-y? Is it like, I don't know. This is the one that I think is the loosest relation to Canada.
Yeah.
Unless someone has some other kind of.
And I don't see, like, it. Don't they have, like, the nine tails? Which is already.
They're, yeah. Yeah. Ninetales is one of the. Yeah. That's Vulpix's evolution is Ninetales.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's why I said this one's like the weakest of the lot.
Could have gone for a Lynx, bud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A Fire Lynx? Ooh. Yeah. All right. We're going to get into some legendary Pokemon. They had four. The first one I think is perfect because it's like Aurora Borealis dragon. She's so pretty.
She kind of has a really majestic and clean like face with these ethereal blue eyes, and the throat and like belly in the middle is white, and then her coloring moving out in those teal and purple and blue and then pink tones. Like, just like if you know the Northern Lights, like, color spectrum. Like, it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And the way that they have her placed is also, like, in the streaks of, like, the lights, too, which is really, really nice. So, like, she looks mm-hmm. like she just zoomed right out of the sky.
Yep. The next one is a bear. And this one really has indigenous vibes. And it's gorgeous. Like, oh, God, this one's nice.
Yeah.
Feathers coming out of it. It looks real statuesque and fierce as well, as we mentioned to the other to the grass starter type. It has the way that the feathers are done, and it looks like it has like indigenous paintings and masks and stuff in it. It's just beautiful. Like, that would be the one that I would pick. Yeah. I'd be like, if I'm going for the cover of the game and I have to pick the legendary that I want, it would be a hard toss up. It might be one of the times when I buy two. Like, each version of the game, but, like, that bear is pretty dope.
Yeah.
The next one, another legendary. This one I don't think is as strong. It kind of looks like another fox slash wolf slash dog-esque one, but it has, like, some more of the Aurora Borealis kind of vibes in it, too. But it's not as strong as the previous dragon.
Yeah, this one could be an evolution. It's...
Yeah, not my favorite. And then the last one that they gave us is almost like Gyarados-esque dragon water type badass. But I can't say it's like uniquely Canadian per se.
No, it's just water. It's just a water dragon.
Yeah, it looks like Gyarados. Like, if you had to do another evolution on Gyarados, it's like extremo form.
I think there's a way they could have, like, yeah, made it more Canadian.
Mm-hmm. But the first two, I feel like they kind of got it between the Aurora Borealis. If they had to do two other, like, if you had to sit down and think about, okay, what are the Canadian-esque things? Like, what would you guys do in a legendary type then? Like, what would you pull from?
Fucking beavers. They destroy everything.
That's true. A freaking legendary beaver? Oh, that would be sick.
Like, seriously, they'll fuck up entire ecosystems just to build their nest.
Yeah, I know, it's true. They are the destroyers. And super smart engineers too. Any other thing that you would want to do as a legendary type?
I'm surprised none of them look like a donut.
I was actually thinking that too, because they do some like foodie like ones. You know how the dog ones, how they always have like weird stuff. It'd be funny if they had like a Tim Hortons.
That would be really
funny.
Yeah.
I mean, we got an ice cream Pokemon. There's no reason we can't get a double exactly. and a box of Timbits.
Yeah. A moose would be cool.
Definitely like that fox one, that Aurea borealis. Like, delete it, put a moose. Because a moose, you will hit it running your car at 100 km.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it,
imagine if it was a dark moose, too, with just glowy eyes, right? Like, because you know you get caught in the deers get caught in headlights and said you're caught in the moose head, like, stare. Yep. So it's like Umbreon almost, like, colors, but then, like, bright-ass eyes.
Like, I don't understand. Like, this is why, like, AI is terrible. Because, like, how can you ignore a creature that is literally 6 to 7 feet tall? And I'm not talking including the head and the antlers. I'm just saying, like, if you were to look at its back and try to get on it, that is 6 or 7 feet tall, that like to lick cars to get the salt of
salt
that can swim across whatever, and that, like, if you run into them with your car is a total loss, and that moose is walking away. And I'm barely exaggerating. Yeah. Like, as Canadians, like, and also, like, geese.
Oh my god, a Canada goose!
Yeah,
that would be a crazy legendary Pokemon. Like, because no one would fuck with that.
Like, I saw a TikTok of a guy, like, trying to approach a Canadian geese. And, like, it was just screaming at it. And, like, it was just in the comments. It was just a bunch of Canadians like, what are you doing, bud? Like, you want to die?
Just run!
Fucking run,
other
bud.
Ones that I think that we missed that, you know, could be done. And they could be normal Pokemon or legendaries.
Yeah.
A salmon?
I was going to say a fish. Yeah, a type of fish I was thinking of a salmon would be neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Mm-hmm. A coyote. Because they've actually become like problems now. Coyotes come into Toronto.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, raccoons. It's nuts. Trash raccoon.
Trash panda.
No, but it's like every time somebody has a TikTok of like a raccoon invading their homes and stealing like food, I'm like, I bet you they're in Toronto. And I look at the tag and they're in the greater Toronto area. Like squirrels, I mean, as well.
Oh, yeah. Squirrels are nuts. There's already a squirrel-esque type Pokemon, though.
Oh, put it in the version.
Yeah, exactly. You should, like, cherry-pick all the ones that would make sense to live in Canada. I get you on the AI thing. I think this is mostly just, like, what I thought. And you will, if you watch more of these, because now that I've, like, looked through this one, like, they give me, like, gazillions of these on different states and different countries and all that kind of stuff. You will see the themes because it's AI and it's just doing things based on a theme. Mm-hmm. But it's still, it's an interesting thing to, like, just have conversations about, because when else are we going to have the opportunity to talk about like a Pokemon game set in Canada? Because I doubt that will ever happen.
Exactly. And like, honestly, even with AI, you can never get rid of the humans, because like, if you look at all the stuff where they used native imagery, like, mm-hmm. I don't even know if that passes the vibe check. Like, you need
Yeah.
You need actual native people to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, if you want a concept of that.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. you know, we want to do a bear with like this and maybe wings. Like, you could show them like a rough concept of mm-hmm. that. And then you have to work with them. Because, like, if you show up with the bear, they're like, well, and depending which tribe, they'll have like.
And which bear?
Yeah.
Which bear? Too.
Which yeah. tribe? You know? Which
like,
bear?
Is it a grizzly? Brown bear, a black bear, a grizzly bear, a polar bear? Like, you could have like a whole variation of just bears.
And every right? yeah, and every like, and for every origin of native people, like, they'll have like spirituality and culture tied to these animals that will differ depending if you're talking to somebody who's from the north, like an Innu, or if you're mm-hmm. talking to somebody around like Quebec, or somebody around like Newfoundland, or somebody around like BC. Like, it's like you're gonna have to pick a tribe and go with it. Like,
or you have a different like there's a Pokemon or a legendary or whatever where each one is based off of a different sect, tribe, whatever, right? And that's the thing, you could kind of show all of this off and pick the animal that makes sense and do the illustration, the rendering to match what you're trying to go for. Like, there's a lot of opportunity here to to teach, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, because of
about different cultures.
A lot of that is lost knowledge due to colonization and ongoing genocide. So mm-hmm. I think it would
now
be
that we're getting political.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always do when we talk about Canada. Like, I like to remind people that we are a genocidal place.
Yeah.
We're nice, but no.
Well,
like any country that
problematic history.
Any country that stemmed from colonization is problematic. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, you know, when we talk about like these native imageries, like, just caveat, like, we don't know if it passes the vibe check.
Oh,
it looks cool.
Exactly. It looks cool. And it's the idea. I feel like it has the idea there. And if you could branch off onto that and have, like I said, like, take different groups, different tribes, different areas, and like build on that.
Yeah.
There's something really unique you could do there, because there's so many different people and cultures that kind of smush together to make Canada what it is.
Yeah.
The next one they did is create two characters from the country. They created two different ones. They have a guy and a girl. The guy is the uber Canadian tourist with a backpack. The girl is dressed in more native Aboriginal garb.
She's in full regalia. So again, vibe check.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows?
But it's basically the person that is like attending the Canadian Olympics dressed in full like Canadian Olympic gear. Yep. Like, I love it. Mm-hmm. And then somebody in full native regalia. So again, limitation of AI. I'm like,
The boots on the Canadian guy, though, I kind of want them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cute. They're
make those boots,
man. Yeah, they're
man.
Like Timberlands. And then on the the tongue, they have a big Pokeball. Yeah, they're cute.
They're dope. They're dope. Funny. All right, the next bit, scrolling through, create a Pokeball. Of course, it's just like a Canadian flag in the middle.
Oh, that
looks good.
Though.
Yeah,
that looks sick. And then the enemy team. This is a team that kind of looks like they belong in a sci-fi spy game. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess they...
XCOM or something.
I guess they went for the Aurora Borealis thing. Like, they could have just gone with, like, our telecom companies. They're the real villains. Like, instead of big R, instead of it being Team Rocket, it's just Rogers. Because if you don't like Rogers, what are your choices? Belt. That's it.
But they're like green and purple. So yeah, I get where you're getting the vibe of the Aurora Borealis. And there's the guy on the right, or the character on the right. Can't really tell gender at this point. There's like purple flames coming off them. I feel like this is kind of like they could have more fun and do something more.
They could be hockey players. Yeah. They could be the Boston Bruins.
Oh my God. Oh my God. They could be like an enforcer hockey team. Oh my God. With like broken teeth and glasses with tape in the middle and like, oh
just fucking Shorzy.
Oh my God.
We're catching up on
a dog Pokemon based off of Shorzy.
Yeah, we're actually catching up on the latest Letterkenny seasons because we missed like 2-3 years and they just released the final one. And I feel that right now with this episode and the fact that I've been watching Letterkenny, like my Canadian accent in English is really popping right now, bud.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yes, bye.
Yes, bud.
Yes, bud. Create a Pokemon Center. This looks like an en route in Ontario.
Yeah.
For those who don't
know
what an en route is, in Ontario, on the Trans-Canada Highway, there is a series or a group. It's a conglomerate that run all of the rest stops, and they all kind of have a little bit of this, like, ski lodge vibe. That's the other thing that this feels like, is a ski lodge.
Yeah, it's a very lodge, lodge forward.
It very much looks like an en route. I've seen like many like stations like this, like in Quebec as well. Like you just need like the slap a Tim Hortons and a McDonald's logo on it for your drive-throughs, and fuck, it's an en route.
It's either that or you're taking off your skis after a hard day. You're going in for a brewski and a swally to, you know, calm down after a hard day on the slopes. Yeah.
Too funny.
Next bit. Create a Pokemon arena for this country. This one I really liked. It felt like a hockey arena
outdoors
mixed with an Olympic arena smushed together. It's phenomenal. And then the big, like, in the sky, it looks like you would have like the hockey arena screens kind of like giving you the close up shots like you get when you go to see the hockey games and stuff. I love this one.
Yeah, and the actual, like, I guess stage or battle area is giving me strong curling vibes, so I'm there for it.
It does, yeah, with the lines and everything. Yeah, it does have that curling vibe. Oh my God, there's another Pokemon, a curling rock. It's a rock
type.
There
you go.
We can just keep going on these.
Beautiful. It's
the
called
stereotypes are real.
It's like the first evolution is the Hurry, the second evolution is the Har. Hurry,
and then the third, Sweep.
Sweep.
Oh my God. Or there's a rock and then the broom.
Yeah.
Oh
no,
my
the,
God.
Yeah, the final
need,
form.
We also need a Loony that becomes a Toonie.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. Or a quarter to a Loony to a Toonie. Yeah. A Loon. There's another one.
Don't,
perfect.
Don't take ours.
A Loon.
Don't take ours.
Oh, is that yours too?
Bird.
Is
it
Minnesota?
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What is the Canadian bird? Is it the Canada goose?
If it ain't, it ain't. If it ain't, it's
a... But it's a loony on the dollar coin is a loony, that loon. That's why it's called the loony.
Yeah, but the toonie has polar bears.
But we say toonie because we're dorky. Because
it's got,
here.
It's two loonies.
Oh my
so it's a toonie.
Yeah, we call them Looney Tunes. The national, what is the national, well, your national animal's the beaver.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, national bird.
National bird. Is going to be the gray jay.
The gray jay.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know
that.
Google
says.
There's another one, too.
Yeah, we need a blue jay for the blue
jays.
Yeah,
blue jay. There you go.
Yeah.
Don't take our loot.
Play baseball. And then the last bet, I think it's the last few here now. Create a badge for winter, or for the winner of, obviously, you go to this Pokemon gym and you win. And you get a badge that's full of maple leaves and mountains and water and hills that very much looks like it could be the gold medal at the Canadian Winter Olympics.
Honestly. Or like a special edition movie something.
Yeah, it looks really good.
It's very nice. And then the front cover of a Pokemon game. I don't think this is as strong as all the other stuff we talked about.
Pokemon
but
Maple Adventure.
Maple Adventure.
Oh. Yeah. Maybe, Kat, that's your tag name for this this podcast is Pokemon Maple Adventure.
Like.
So, yeah, I thought this was kind of a funny thing for us to chat through, considering that's...
Yeah,
I don't know we'll ever get a Pokemon game.
And also, Leah, curse you, because I went on to that, the creator's TikTok. And I'm not really on TikTok, but I went, they have a ton of them on there, like so many. And now my algorithm, I'm sure, on Instagram is going to be these. But they have some really cool ones, so yeah, if you are interested.
Yeah, well, They have the Minnesota one, because I had shared that one with you.
And they have the new Minnesota flag on there. Like, they're up to date. So, yeah, they have a Minnesota one, and I thought that the enemies, the enemy ones specifically, were really quite, it was like Paul Bunyan and...
Oh my god, really?
Okay. So that one was really
This
good.
One's not a photo. Oh my god.
He's a minor. He's a
Yeah, this one's not a photo one, so it's a little harder to scroll through.
Yeah.
I like the photo scrolly one.
Yeah, they had some there he is. There's the
There he is. Yeah, very
Paul
much
Bunyan.
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah. And then I could see it. I could see it in some place. They did have a beaver for one of the grass one was a beaver. So
Oh my god, awesome. If you want to go ruin your algorithm and just get AI Pokemon for the rest of the days,
I'm gonna have to do a cleanse after that so I can go back to having screaming huskies.
Oh no, I still got the dogs and screaming huskies. That's intermixed now, and I'm slowly training it out, but I've gone back to this. When it first popped up, Mike and I had a really good laugh at it, and then I was like, hold on now, we could build a pretty solid GOG episode talking about this, so I'm glad it worked out. And with that, we conclude this episode of the podcast. As always, go check on the show notes on girlsongames.ca for links to all the stories, aka story mentioned in this episode, as cattle link the two TikToks, the Minnesota one and the Canada one, and I'll also give you the Pokemon photograph mashup just so that everybody can enjoy that in its full glory.
Thanks, I hate it.
Yes.
It's not good.
As always, if you have the power to do so, to rate and review podcasts on the podcasting platform where you're consuming this podcast, and you're able to do that for us, it'd be much appreciated. Why? It helps with discovery, pushes us up in the rankings, and we love to hear what you have to say. It helps us build our show. Thanks everyone for being on the podcast with me this week. I appreciate it, especially Joelle, who, like I said, hell no, I'm not podcasting on my birthday. You're like, hell yeah, let's podcast on my birthday.
Let's do it. I love it.
So this is a chance for everybody to shout out their social media handles so you can follow them everywhere and anywhere online. Catherine, where can people find you?
I am CSDSBINSCSDBA on Twitter, Instagram, Threads. Mostly on the Girls on Games Discord, but a little personal shout out because this episode's going out on Thursday. If you're listening to this and you missed it, go back to the For Honor Twitch because I will be on the Warriors Den stream to announce what the fuck I was working on for more so summer and fall.
Yay!
Yeah.
And what day is it actually airing on so that I can watch it live?
This Thursday at noon EST.
Oh, it is. Okay, so if you are on the ball listening to this as soon as it releases, you can catch it live? And if not, you'll have to go back and watch the...
Yeah,
the
usually
band, right?
we usually
release in the morning?
No, we release at night usually.
Thursday night?
I usually do this on Thursday nights. So just wanted to shout out the stream. But so it's always
a VOD.
Yeah, and it's not paywalled anything. Like, the VOD would be available, and there'll be stuff on the Ubisoft official YouTubes as well. I'll post links later, but I'm just shouting out that I did a big girl thing, so I'm going to a big girl's stream to talk about game dev things.
Woo-hoo! Get it.
Love it. Joelle, where can people
find
you?
People can find me on Instagram at JoelleLauren87 and on X at Gamer_Comfy. But always creepin' and postin' in the Girls on Games Discord. Come and say hi. It's great content. Great content there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of people chatting mm-hmm. in there. Love it. And I am Leah Jewer on most social media platforms. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games. You can track us down at The Girls on Games on X and Facebook. I'm going to say Twitter forever. It's written there. That's why. I am Ron Burgundy. Girls on Games. No the in there on Instagram and Threads. Discord.me/Girls on Games to continue this conversation with all of us. Kind of on the ongoing ways, as we are always on the internet. But of course, if you ever want to know anything at all, you can track it down at our home base. That's our website, girlsongames.ca. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Joelle. Thank you, Simon, for the editing nightmare I probably just gave you. I appreciate you. At least you're only doing one song, unlike me last week having, or 2 weeks ago, having to do like 10. But you'll do it, and I know you'll do a great job. Feel free to yell at me afterwards. And with that, I'm off to play more Garden Life. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
Bye.